The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 511. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going? This is an Xbox.
We got Carlos Romero in the house.
Yo, what's going on?
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Manjoma.
What's up?
Right, back another one. And for you guys joining us on Twitch, I hope you can hear us because you can't see us right now. Discord is always, OBS is on some bullshit. And it's not fucking showing us right now, bro. Let me see what's going on here. Because they decided we're going to show the wrong monitor. Why did you do that? There we are. Our beautiful faces are in your face. This is the second time this happened, by the way. Anyway, we're back with another one. No Chris action. And Brett may or may not show up. We do not know. But yeah, we got another show for you, man. As a matter of fact, very interesting show. This week, some stuff happened, which is going to make us laugh a lot. We got to talk about it. It's going to be a very Xbox-centric podcast, if you can't tell by the title of this episode. And for you guys, you know, listening to us after the fact, by the lead image of the episode, you know? It's kind of funny. I got to give a shout-out to Manny. He brought this to my attention literally minutes before we went live, because we're going to do Xbox anyway, because people are very upset over some comments Phil Spencer made. But then Xbox decided to have a very weird ad campaign. So we'll get to all that stuff, man. But yeah, the main thing that's gotten gamers' attention is Phil Spencer, our boy Phil Spencer, had an interview with Bloomberg, Jason Schreier. And by the way, I could see Jason Schreier's tweets now because, you know, the blocking thing doesn't work like the way it used to. He had me blocked, you know? And I can't respond to him, obviously, but I can see his tweets. Because like I always said, Jason Schreier, scumbag of a human being, but he's a good reporter, you know? I don't feel bad saying that. This dude's just fucking scum, you know? All right, so here's some highlights.
The first question before we start, does he do diligence?
I don't know what that means.
No bullshit. Asking the hard questions.
Oh, I have no idea. I'm just looking at his bullet points. I haven't read his thing.
All right.
So these are the bullet points he pointed out from his interview. Xbox is planning a handheld, but it's years away. This one makes sense to me. Phil Spencer's been talking about a handheld for a while now. And he said the main thing that's kind of holding them back is they're trying to figure out how to make Windows work better for handhelds. And he doesn't know whether that's to optimize Windows 11 or make a separate OS for handhelds. He's not sure. So they're still trying to figure that out. But he realizes, again, if you read any of my reviews for, you know, some of the Windows handhelds, I always say Windows 11 is those handhelds' best and worst aspect. It's great because you get access to everything Windows 11, obviously, but it's bad because you have to deal with Windows 11 shit. Like, if you're a gamer and you're buying a handheld for the first time, you're not trying to, you know, you don't want to be asked if you want to install Office 365. It's fucking stupid, you know? Okay, so there's that. And here's the thing that really got gamers going, people. Phil Spencer said there are no quote-unquote red lines for which Xbox games will come to PlayStation. Remember, he's been doing this very slowly. Remember, this year was like four games. And some people, they interpreted that as only four games ever, which is stupid, you know? So naturally, this comment got a lot of people on both sides, yakking, you know? PlayStation guys are laughing, obviously. And Xbox guys are like, what's going on with the identity of our system? We don't have a system anymore. And then here's one that's very interesting, because this ties into another story we're going to talk about tonight. The business I'm assuming Xbox here. The business is healthier now than ever. Really? After you cut off like 2,000 jobs, I guess that's healthy. Maybe, you know.
Well, it's healthy when you cut down 2,000 jobs because you need to pay those motherfuckers anymore, yeah. Right?
So those are the big things, and I want to get you guys' take on it, specifically the red line part that's gotten Twitter a buzz, you know? Rich, why don't you jump in here, man? What do you think about this? And then maybe you go after him.
Well, red line, that's a very – that means danger. Danger. Yes. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. Well, first and foremost, I will say this. You guys predicted in the past this was going to happen. You've been talking about it for quite some time. I think when I saw that Indiana Jones is coming to PS5 Pro, well, PS5 and PS5 Pro, when I saw that announcement, I said, okay, that's it. The four games rule is gone. So I'm not surprised by this news. I do think if you are an Xbox fan, you enjoyed games such as Halo and Gears, and you know that those games were synonymous with Xbox. To see those games on PlayStation, you might feel a certain type of way about that. I understand it. But we knew once they started making money by putting their games on other platforms, this was going to continue. Yeah. So it's definitely not a surprise, but it's very interesting how every time Phil Spencer has an interview, there's a change. Something has changed in that interview.
That's a good point. It's like there's always something that kind of like, I don't want to say contradict, but I'm going to use the word contradict, something he had previously said, another one. And this goes back to what a lot of people were saying, that and remember, a lot of Xbox not insiders, but people that actually worked at Xbox and left the company, they were like, yeah, we feel directionless. It feels like we're always changing course. And Rich, you're right about that. It's like, it's always something different every single interview.
Absolutely. So, we'll see what happens, but I'm not surprised. I will say that shout out to our boy Hip Hop Gamer talking about Hellblade 2 was coming to PlayStation 5. Well, I think we knew that was going to happen, but I didn't see no official announcement yet. But that's forthcoming, I would assume.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, he confirmed it. So
Hip Hop Gamer confirmed it, so it's got to be.
Oh, true. He did confirm
it. Yeah, he confirmed it. You know, and you know, Hip Hop Gamer confirmed something, that means it's true. Manny, what were you going to say about this, about the red lines all that?
I mean, you know, again, it was known that this, what we did say this, it is what the thing about it is, it's like, I know a lot of the Xbox fans are not happy because it's like, so then why should we own Xbox?
That's the argument they make. That's the argument they make. Yeah. Like, why
shouldn't I just invest in, or why shouldn't I just invest in the competition? You are not offering the things that, I mean, other than the service, that's the only exclusive they officially have right now. Granted, they have a lot of their games from the past. You know, they have the not a complete backwards compatible catalog, but they have a majority of a PlayStation. But it's interesting. Because again, we saw this coming. So I think what Xbox needs, you know, really ask the question on, and they seem to be very much on the line of wanting to become the Netflix of gaming.
Yep.
But let's just say this: Netflix is still not breaking even to this day, even though it is the most popular platform out there. It still cannot keep this. Cannot continue to in the direction it is currently. And what's going to happen? We're going to have, you know, price hikes as Microsoft did recently do a price hike on the Xbox services. I don't know. I mean, and then the other thing about this, and it's obvious why they're putting their games out on their console, because people still buy things on console.
Yeah, no, you're right about
that.
You
know, and I know sometimes we like to play the little game of like, what's success, and you know, numbers don't mean anything. Numbers do mean actual legitimate money does make sense. How much your division is making, it means the difference of keeping studios in business and keeping all the lights on. Can't, you know, like, if other than that, what's going to happen with this service? It's going to become just like, okay, we put these things out, and then we're just going to, a couple of months later, we're going to throw it out on the other thing. Netflix doesn't even fucking do that. Like, essentially, poisoning their own well by putting their shit on other platforms.
Yeah, but that's not the way they see it. Yeah.
Do you see Stranger Things on Disney Plus?
Not yet.
No. No, here's... you don't see it on there, but you will see Disney stuff on there because, you know, the secret is by licensing your stuff to another company, you actually make money. So even that you can poke holes into within Xbox's strategy.
Yeah. What's up, Carlos?
For all we know, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you guys in terms of this whole the flavor of the week when it comes to Xbox and Phil Spencer. Like every quarter, it seems like he changes the tune. One thing that I will say that I will mention is I would have appreciated this more if there was some sort of plan or some sort of roadmap or some sort of something. Be like, okay, from now on, all, you know, you can expect all of these games on PlayStation, or you know, or you know, or Halo's gonna be on PlayStation now, Gears is gonna be PlayStation on Gear, or something. Like, it doesn't have to be that exact announcement, but say something. Because it's super ambiguous. It's like a non-announcement. We already know that Microsoft is changing course and be like, oh, well, now we can have first-party games on PlayStation. There's no boundaries. But it's like, well, at least, you know, clear some of that out. Just, we already know that. You're not telling us anything.
Yeah. By the way, this is interesting. I'm looking into this. I guess Phil Spencer was on a little media tour because there's also an interview with Rolling Stone here where, you know, this related to that ad we're going to talk about, but very interesting. We'll let's not skip ahead. We'll get to that. But yeah, I guess my man was doing the rounds or something this week, you know? A couple other things I want to discuss from the Bloomberg interview. So he says that Microsoft, you know, Xbox is still open to acquisitions, which is very interesting. He says that they're not going to make any big ones, like $69, you know, billion dollars worth. But they are looking into it, which we said will happen. It's just give it some time. They want to let shit die down. And, you know, one of our other upcoming stories is, you know, it's like, yeah, you should chill out for now because a certain woman is still trying to come after you, you know. and then what's the other thing here? So, yeah, he wants to find a partner for a handheld device. And what's the other thing here? Actually, let's get into it. The other one. In Rolling Stone, he says that there will be another Xbox because, as you see from the title of this episode, this is an Xbox. That's a play on the ad where, like, basically it showed a million things that they consider an Xbox, right? And, you know, like we said, this has caused people to be very upset. So Phil Spencer had to come out, you know, as a response. But not come out as a response, but, you know, in this interview, which I guess was a preemptive way of doing things, right? He had to come out and say, no, we will be doing another Xbox. And if you remember during the Activision court case, you know, it was revealed that they are indeed coming out with another Xbox. 2026, we even got to see what it's going to look like potentially. So we are going to get another Xbox. But like we discussed on the Sunday show, after that, we don't know. So they are going to do another one. But, you know, like you said, Manny, it's like, why buy this Xbox if there's not going to be an exclusives? If you could just wait a little while and get your fucking game on PlayStation, potentially, you know?
You could invest in a more you can invest in a piece that can run the game, run these games. You could get it on a PlayStation and have to wait a little bit. I mean, you know, so like what's to keep your fan base there who's traditionally obviously accepted that this is the way consoles work.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
So then why get a console if all the games are coming on PC?
That's also true.
Well, I mean, yeah, there is also that, but that's also an option. So it's like,
I mean, again, like you can apply very similar arguments to PlayStation.
To the PlayStation, yeah.
Where their games are coming on PC.
If you wait long enough, their games will come out on PC.
The main difference is, and Brian, I agree with what you were saying, but the main difference is Xbox games do come out day one on PC. That's the difference. But your point still stands. If you on PlayStation, you wait a little while, you're going to get the big guys on PC eventually.
Yeah.
No, I'm just trying to say that you can make very similar arguments as to why to not get a PlayStation.
The big difference, and this is with this service included. What then? At the same time, it's like the difference is that you're on the other platforms. They're probably making more money.
Yeah, but as a gamer, you know what I'm saying. Like, if you're an Xbox guy, right? Like, you're right.
Yeah,
like,
Where's your Xbox fan? Where's the thing that you wanted? The identity. It's like, okay, so you just have a game playing console that plays everything except for PlayStation. That's what you.
Yeah, okay? Brian. What's your thoughts on this, man? Overall,
I'm rather indifferent about it. To be fair with you guys, I'm just kind of like, okay, it's a new advert. Fine, they have new adverts. We all said that this was a thing that they were going to be doing, or this was a road that they were going to be going down, just based on what they said. So now it's just a lot more official that, okay, they're actually advertising it. So, fine. I honestly don't care that much. I'm just more concerned. Again, it's always the same question that I always have whenever this type of stuff happens. It's like, okay, so where are the games? You know, it's like, you want to advertise that, okay, you can play an Xbox on, okay, everything's on Xbox, okay, so what about the games on Xbox? Like, where are they? You know, like, they should be talking more about games rather than what things you can play Xbox on, because that's what I'm more concerned about.
Yeah.
I mean, I had Game Pass. Well, yeah, I had Game Pass. I dropped it after a while because I was like, I'm not really playing that many games on it. Again, the games are there that I want to play, but I just wasn't playing as much as I thought I would be. So I said, okay, I'm not going to use it. So, yeah, you bring out the games, you bring out the people, and I'd rather them talk about the games. And to be fair, they just have not, which is disappointing. But the ad thing, it's interesting. It seems like the ad is getting the reach that they like or that they would have liked, but I don't know if people are talking about it the way that they would have liked. That's another thing. But honestly, it's like, yeah, cool. So basically, you have an Xbox and then you can stream it to all these platforms. That's great. Like, technically, that's a cool idea. Very nice. The whole thing about the Xbox identity, I'm at a point where because I don't have ties to any platform like that, so hence I don't understand that argument. But if the argument's there to be made, then it's there to be made. I'm just like, okay. Like, I bought a Switch because it had games I wanted to play, so I'll play on Xbox because it will have games I want to play. So where are those games? If the games aren't there, then I don't play it. I mean, that's why I don't play many games on PlayStation, because there's not many games I want to play on PlayStation. So that, again, I'm trying to get you to understand my headspace in all of this. Mm-hmm. So to me, this is just more, oh, that's cool, but where's the games? Yeah. That's how I see it.
I mean, that's been the problem for Xbox. And what do you think about the whole, you know, interviews that he's been doing, specifically people losing their mind over the red line part?
I think it's just like a weird leftover thing from the console wars days. And I can understand now that the console wars, they were fun, yes, but ultimately they were unnecessary and rather a bit meh. So I've always been a fan of the idea of, like, okay, if you put games on all platforms, then you truly get to see what makes that platform different from everyone else. Because you can't use games as a benchmark, or not benchmark. You can't use games exclusives as a goalpost at that point, because there will be none. So you start seeing, oh, okay, so how do you differentiate this platform from that platform? Then things start doing things that way, rather than just, oh yeah, we can just play these games on this platform, and hence it's different. It's like, it's not a fan of that idea. But at the same time, it's just like, the more games come into more platforms, I'm always in favor of that, because I think that's better for gaming as a general idea. Again, more people get to play the same games. More people get to discuss and have these experiences, which is always good. Cannot fault that. But again, it always goes back to the same argument, which is what are those games? You know, it's like, okay, Xbox wants to put out all these things. and they'll eventually move them to other platforms. Okay, but what are those games? Like, they're not talking about them. But
there's no games. Yeah. There's no games to talk about. That's the problem.
Yeah, again, if Brett were here, I'm sure he'd bring up, oh yeah, they have all these studios working on all these games. It's like, yes, yeah. I do agree on that. But the problem is, it's been some time, and I think I expected there to be more, and maybe I need to change how I expect games to be, in that I should expect less frequent games than I already do, which is already quite low as it is. So yeah, like, again, that could just be like a me thing where just expect less games, because it seems like games are getting just less and less frequent from these companies. And by games, I mean from like Xbox and PlayStation. Again, this isn't like the PS2 days or the PS3 days where you get like an exclusive every 3 months, you know.
Yeah. Faster, you know.
Yeah, I still remember, I don't know what year it was, but there was like 1 year where like the first 4 months of PlayStation, they had one exclusive every single month. And it was just like, this was it. I'm sure to the same month that Killzone came out in February. I don't remember which one that was, maybe Killzone 3. But yeah, it was just like exclusive, next month exclusive, next month exclusive. So maybe I'm still in that mindset of we need exclusives every 3 months or something, but now it's like exclusives every 6 months if you're lucky, and that's it.
We were eating good back then, man. We were eating good then. We didn't realize how good we had it until we were deprived.
Now what you got to go.
And that's another thing, like Brian mentions the whole thing with an exclusive every month or every 2 months, or you know, a lot higher frequency of games. And even if you weren't into like half of them, you still got a whole bunch of games that year.
That's true.
And these days, like, you get like two, at best three games from, you know, Sony first party or Xbox or Microsoft first party, and that's just two of them, but a lot of other ones are just as sparse as well. But people mention, it's like, oh, we got all these games. It's like, we got this and this and this. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not interested in two of the three. I was only interested in one.
You mean you didn't want to play the medium?
Exactly.
You
like,
didn't want to play Red Fail?
Yo, man, I know people were interested in Concord. I know Rich was, but I just wasn't into that kind of game.
Rich, you hear what he's saying, man? I don't know about that.
Well, first and foremost, I heard what he said. I have to say I'm surprised what Carlos is saying now, because Carlos told me that he was very excited for Lego Horizon Adventures and Horizon Zero Dawn Remastered. Those games came out a week or so apart. So there you go. That's the two games. Yeah. But no.
And Rich, that's a nice plug for what is coming later on this episode. You know?
Yes. That's what it is. But one quick comment I will make. I agree with what has been said. Brian asked a great question. Where are the games? That is an outstanding question. And then I also see in this interview, Phil Spencer says, oh, yes, we want to do more acquisitions. But they have yet to have a year where they've released quality games. Everyone is thinking maybe 2025. That's what we're going to see. I will believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
But yeah, crazy.
We hear this every year. Next year is going to be it. Carlos, our favorite line. You know,
wait for
E3, or in this case, wait for Summer Game Fest, you know, every time, man. Fucking waiting on Xbox games is like waiting for like fusion energy. It's always coming, but it never arrives, you know. Mm-hmm. It's crazy, man.
So it's one of those things where people, the most optimistic people, they call them the toxic positive people. I forgot what that term is.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, some nonsense.
Yeah, like those people, like they're kind of, it's more of like they're defending the company because, you know, they want it to succeed.
Positivity, so whenever, peddlers.
Yeah, those people. It's like there's issues with the company. They're not releasing games. They want games, but look at all these studios they acquired. This has got 20 some studios. It's like, but this has got to be the year. This is it. Nope. We keep saying this every single damn year. It's been, I swear, it's been over 5 years at least where we've been going through this. And the whole, it's like, and every year they acquire another fucking studio. It's like, well, now they got all of these studios. Now they got the Activision and Blizzard. No, now they got the ZeniMax and Bethesda. And now they got Double Fine. And now they got this and Rare. And like every single time they have a new studio and somehow the games still don't come. Yeah. So, you know, Ninja Theory is another one. It's crazy. It's like, yeah, you're Phil, you want to acquire studios? I doubt you're going to release games with them anytime soon. So I don't know what the hell you're bragging about.
I got to say, it's, man, you're really bragging about
potential.
I really wish Brett was here because remember, I think it was last year around this time, or maybe it was earlier this year, where Microsoft said, this is the Microsoft, we are now in the best position ever. And a lot of us on this podcast called that shit out, except for Brett. He was like, but isn't it? They just acquired this. And I'm like, Brett, we've been hearing this shit for 5 fucking years. Look at this. End of 2024, what have we gotten? Nothing. So Carlos, me, you, because you and I railed against this shit. The previous time we said this, we were right. Miss Cleo again, bro. You know, but it wasn't that hard of a fucking, you know, prediction because we literally just go, hey, what happened last year? What happened the year before that? 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 It's just the same fucking thing. It never ends. So I don't understand how people could just like, oh, this is it. Xbox is in the best position ever. Oh, man, I'm so hyped. They have so many fucking studios, man. We're finally getting these games. Where are the fucking games? You've been saying this shit for 10 fucking years. You know, it's fucking infuriating. And we're going to hear the same shit next. I guarantee you come January, Xbox is going to make that statement again. Xbox is in the best possible position ever. We're going to make a dent in the industry. They're going to say the same fucking thing. And these fucking people, these fucking clowns are going to believe it. They're going to lap it up. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, my God, Xbox. It's as poised to make a comeback. You've been saying that, bro. Again, this is fucking future energy, man. You keep saying it's coming. It's never fucking coming. You know? Anyway, I'm... Bullshit.
Rant. it's just one of those things. It keeps building up, and people are like, "Oh, well, we didn't get much this year, so it's got to be next year." And then it's the same thing. It's the whole repeating cycle, it's a compounding effect. It's like, well, we didn't get the past 5 years, we didn't get anything, but now next year, this is it. We got Activision now. We got Blizzard. Oh, no, no, but next year, oh, no, no. Now it takes 5 years to develop games. No, now it takes 7 years to develop games. It's a AAA market. This is the environment that we're in. So all of the games are coming out. Phil Spencer just became the CEO of Microsoft, guys. Got to give him some time.
Give him some time. I remember I did a Reggie, I hope you're listening to this episode, bro. I did a Tony's Take maybe 6 years ago, I want to say. Where at the time, people were like, oh, yeah, we got to give Phil Spencer time to, you know, get things going. And at that time, remember, this was six years ago. In that video, I said, yo, bro, it's been 4 fucking years. 10 years of nothing. Yeah. Phil Spencer needs to go. I'm sorry. 10 years of nothing, you know?
Uh-oh.
So you're still going to blame Don Matrick a decade later? Really?
Yeah, Tony. But, I mean, let me push back on that. Push back on you real quick.
Uh-oh.
But who would you rather have a beer with?
That's right. Oh, man.
You know, they said the same thing about George.
Yeah, well, you know, he only got two terms, you know. Phil Spencer needs to go. I said it. There's a certain game that everybody loved, Far Cry 3. What was the most famous line from that game? You know, what is insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again. They've been doing the same shit over and over again. It's not working. And the same thing is Phil Spencer, you know, the guy who flip-flops all the time. You know, nah, he needs to go.
This sounds like this is almost sounding like a political thing now. Hey,
yeah, but gaming politics, you know,
gaming politics.
Vote him out. The populace wants something else, you know. But Phil Spencer actually could articulate his points and isn't a fucking airhead. Anyway, go on, Carlos.
Yeah, like if let's say Microsoft acquires another studio next year, I don't know. Let's say Ubisoft. then that's going to be another one of those how would you put this? It's one of those buffers that adds to people's brains where it's like, oh, now we got Ubisoft. Now we got to give them five years.
This is the year, man. This is the year. Damn, you know? Yo, Phil Spencer really was on a tear. Stephen Totello did an interview with him too. What is going on here? Carlos, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it, and I'm even more mad because I know we're gonna have to go through this bullshit probably in another couple of months. You know,
and just to my last point on this, it's and just for the people, the two people that are gonna listen to the show that are pro Xbox.
Okay, yo, shout out to Logic Wins, bro.
PlayStation isn't doing any better. So, you know, just to put that note there, I mean, they're releasing Lego games and remasters all the time. So they're not doing any better. So just to let you guys know, maybe probably Damien's hate watching
the show right now. I'm going to push back on that.
Oh.
I'm going to say PlayStation isn't doing great, but they are doing better than Xbox. Because even if you get a shitty Lego game, even if you get a Lego game, it's still a game.
Yeah.
It's still an exclusive. Yeah. You know, unless you count the Switch version, but you know what I'm saying. It is still, and I've been saying this whole generation. I'm not happy with the way things have been going with PlayStation, but it's still a lot better than Xbox. A hell of a lot better. We didn't get Concord yet. We got Concord. You know, which is Concord. I don't think there's anything that's even equal to Concord in terms of failure, bro. You know, like even Redfall was still. You can still play that game.
Yeah, that's true.
You can still play it. You know, but regardless, you know, when you get games like, you know, Stellar Blade and all these other things, like PlayStation is in a better position. But they're generally speaking, again, there's a reason we've been so disillusioned, me and you in particular, over this generation. You know, look at this shit. No, I'm not gonna call out any names, but there's a certain person I wrote an article again saying, oh yeah, this is Xbox is on the verge of a comeback.
No.
Rich, how many times have we read these fucking articles, man?
Oh yeah, and let me guess, are they saying that because of the games that they have announced that are coming out next year?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I have to do it, and I'm not saying as a diss. Shout out to Jess Corden. So he wrote an opinion piece saying, as Xbox's 2024 draws closer to an end, Microsoft is finishing on a high note with a ton of momentum and plenty of reasons for optimism.
Momentum?
What momentum? There's nothing. You need to have momentum. You need some kind of forward motion, right? There's nothing. Fucking Xbox is in a pit of quicksand. You know, they're not. Listen, opinion piece. That's fine. I disagree with that opinion. You know,
at least he had the journalistic integrity to say that it was an opinion.
Yeah. But
like some so-called journalists out there who release pieces like this, who are obviously writing opinion pieces, but it's put out like it's some sort of fact.
Yeah, bring that back. Thank you, Jess, for doing that. The literally the first word in here, opinion. Great. You know, so that's why I can't come at it too hard. But some other person would have written this, and it was just as facts. Mm-hmm. No, no, no. You know,
no bueno.
But you know, so this is what he says, and to be fair, I understand why he's saying this. But some of these games aren't exclusive. But let me Call of Duty, Black Ops 6, Stalker 2, Indiana Jones, record engagement, and Xbox Game Pass success. Did anyone notice that Xbox is closing 2024 on a bit of a roll? We could push back on some of this stuff, though. Call of Duty, that's coming to PlayStation, from what we heard, is selling better on PlayStation. Carlos, Miss Cleo again, bro. We said that. You and I said this.
Mm-hmm.
We said this game's going to sell better on PlayStation, which is a no-brainer. That's a Michael Pachter fucking prediction, you know?
That's Miss Cleo with insider information predictions.
You know, Indiana Jones, that game hasn't even dropped, so we don't know if it's going to be any good or not. Record engagement, like as if that means anything. What Xbox Game Pass success? I haven't seen it. People dropping off, you know? Rich, what's up, man? What's your take on that?
Oh, no. As soon as you said that word engagement, that's when I started laughing. Yeah. That doesn't mean a damn thing. We're talking about sales, money, what's all of that?
Here's the thing. The only time the engagement means anything is on Steam. because those people legitimately, most of
they
those
bought
people
it,
legitimately
yeah.
bought those titles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On an Xbox, it doesn't mean anything. It just means, hey, we downloaded it. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right, man. Anything else you guys want to say about Xbox? You know, it's making a comeback, baby. If this is the year, let's fucking this go. Is this is it. Oh, man.
This is it. Like the Michael Jackson.
The last comment that I will make is I'm looking forward to Stalker 2. I'm pretty sure it will be better on PC. So I'm looking forward to that, sure. But they have a lot more to show to prove. And I'm not convinced that 2025, from what I've seen so far, 2025, I need to see more. So let's see if this comeback is actually going to happen.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
Don't call it a comeback.
Don't call it a comeback. All right, next story, also related to Microsoft. Hundreds of ZeniMax workers go on strike to protest Microsoft dragging their feet on negotiations over job security and remote work. Oh, boy. And remember, they said business is doing good. If business is so good, why do you have employees protesting, bro? Crazy. So I'm reading this off of PC Gamer. Hundreds of members of the ZeniMax Workers United Union have gone on strike today to protest the lack of progress in negotiations with ZeniMax parent company Microsoft, as well as the company's recent, quote, unilateral decision to outsource Q&A work amidst widespread layoffs in the video game industry. This one, one of the representatives said, today we are on strike. We are not afraid to do what's necessary to make sure that Microsoft meets us at the bargaining table over key issues like remote work options and outsourcing. We deserve job security and improved working conditions. Hundreds of our members are striking from 10 to 6 in Maryland and Texas today to tell Microsoft to stop dragging their feet. Oh, man. So, yeah, the company's doing great, right?
So, great company.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rich.
I want to make two comments on this. First and foremost, so this is what's happening with Microsoft and, you know, ZeniMax. And these guys have the nerve to say they want to have more acquisitions?
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't make any kind of sense. Again, that goes to show you, yeah, it's always a different story. There's obviously a lot of bad stuff happening behind the scenes. I guess we can come to that conclusion. So, but they don't want you to know what's really happening. But this is the last point I want to make. Now, obviously, you had mentioned earlier that Phil Spencer had all these people he was talking to. I want to see Phil Spencer have an interview where they're asking him hard-hitting questions about stuff like this.
Yeah.
Because the perception is everything. So you're talking about all this great stuff Xbox has going on. I bet not one person asked him a question about what's going on what's going on with this strikes, all this other stuff. Somebody needs to ask him these questions because you got to be transparent for everybody to see what's really going on.
And you know what's frustrating?
See what I meant? Yeah. See what I meant about doing your due diligence as a journalist?
Mm-hmm.
From what these interviews that were done with Phil Spencer, they're more puff pieces than they are actual journalism.
I got to go back to Jason Schreier. Remember, he's Mr. Union, Mr. For the Common Man. I looked through his interview here, Manny. No mention, nothing about this.
Think about it, because this is not one of those moments where he's going to be starting to flash stuff.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? He's for the people. Mm-hmm. And why didn't he bring up the whole thing that was going on with Bobby Kotick? He said he knew, but he didn't report on it.
Yeah, he knew about it. So, you see, again, like, if he's for the people, then people need to know. Doesn't matter if it's the right moment, it should be at that moment.
Yeah.
So he should have been asking this question as he was sitting in the fucking room with Phil Spencer. But what was this interview? This interview was literally, and he's done it on multiple sites, which they probably all mostly say essentially the same things, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they mostly do. He's just talking about, oh, the future of Xbox. We're going to do it, guys. You're not ready for this. What's coming? It's fucking stupid, man. All right.
I would say the same thing, you know, for anybody who say, "Oh, you're PlayStation guys." I would say the same thing if there was anything going on with Sony on their side. They if something is going on, you guys should just say something.
Yeah, now, but you know how it is. Somebody's got, you know.
Yeah, well, he's going to play the game, because why is he in there? Because he probably, if he does start asking those sorts of questions, those questions like Kevin Pereira asked to a certain Reggie Fils-Aimé, he may not get those interviews. Then that's what that is. It's plain and
yeah. All right, man. So we'll see how this shakes out, if Microsoft's going to negotiate with them or not. So we'll keep an eye on that. And the last thing we get to talk about with Microsoft, oh, God! She's back, people! Trying to get Microsoft once again on cloud gaming, you know? The FTC is to investigate Microsoft's cloud unit on antitrust concerns and last hurrah under Joe Biden. Oh, man. Yeah, there she is, Khan, trying to come after him one more time. So let me read this real quick from the New York Post, who had very funny headlines when the whole Anthony Weiner scandal was going on. Brilliant headlines, you know? The Federal Trade Commission is readying an investigation into Microsoft's cloud computing business assets. Full throttle approach to antitrust continues in the final weeks. The Biden administration, according to a report, the agency led by Chair Lina Khan is looking into claims that the company is abusing its market clout by enforcing terms that prevent users from moving their data from its Azure service to other cloud computing software. People with direct knowledge of the matter told the Financial Times. Microsoft has allegedly been hiking subscription fees for those that are leaving the platform, charging sky-high exit fees, and making its Office 365 products incompatible with other cloud services, the report said. Ooh, that sounds pretty bad, you know?
Well, no, that's actually, to be honest, Khan, this is not really a gaming thing.
Yeah.
Granted, a lot of people use Azure, a lot of companies use Azure, but yeah, that's actually a legitimate reason to go after.
Yeah, this is
after Microsoft.
Yeah, because they're pulling some shady shit right now.
This is the same shit that that Adobe was sort of pulling when it came to trying to cancel out of the subscription for Adobe Creative Suite. It's the same sort of thing deal. They make it difficult for you to close out. Or they make you sign a contract. If you decide to cut out of your contract, they could charge you an additional fee beyond your initial like subscription. So yeah, that actually does sound pretty fucked up. Go Khan.
Yeah, good luck to her, because once Trump gets in, he's gonna probably replace her. You know, so because she was a Biden appointee, so. You know, and Trump is cleaning house, so that's probably why she's trying to get this out there. But I kind of agree. It's like, yeah, that Microsoft, that shit they're pulling is fucked up, you know? So yeah. I'll give her that, because I do still think her whole thing against Xbox when it came to the cloud stuff, gaming, I thought that was silly. This sounds legit, you know? So good on her. Maybe she'll get a win before she, given the boot, because she's gone after this, you know? All right, so that's kind of interesting. We'll keep an eye on that, but it's probably not going to happen. You know, she's just trying shit. Now we got to talk about our favorite company. Which company keeps taking an L every single week? What's you guys know. There's two of them. One of them is actually real. Another one is kind of stupid, but I'm going to talk about it. Okay, so here's the headline. Written by our favorite reporter, Tom Henderson.
Andy?
Yeah. And let me finish this headline before you guys ask the inevitable question. Ubisoft's Project U is back to the drawing board after 5 years of development. I know what you're asking. What is Project U?
What I don't. Is this?
Yeah, yeah. I don't even think the developers of Project U know what the Project U is. I never heard of this. Rich, I gotta give you a shout out. You're the one that brought this to my attention. You know. Although I will say, I think they should rebrand this to Project L. You know, so Rich, did you know about this Project U? You know, you being a gaming insider and all that.
Well, I first and foremost, I'm not really sure what Harry and the Hendersons had to say about it. Well, obviously, that person has deeper connections to Ubisoft than I do. But as someone who has been to Ubisoft for a lot of preview events in recently. I have not seen a damn thing about this project, so I don't know what the hell this is. It sounds like an imaginary project to me, not a real one.
Yeah, Project I for imaginary, you know? But let me read this, because again, it's just very interesting. We may have talked about this game on Throwdown and just plumb forgot. Project U was officially announced in September 2022 as a revolutionary, quote, new kind of session-based cooperative shooter, end quote. But over two years since its announcement, nothing publicly about the game has yet been announced. You could have phrased that a little better. Anyway, that's because Project U, internally codenamed Pathfinder, quietly returned to the drawing board in spring 2024 following issues surrounding the game's replayability. For those unfamiliar with Project Z, like everybody on this panel, and I'm pretty sure everybody listening at home, its premise is that the Earth has been invaded by machines that want to mechanize all life. The game would see 10 teams of 4 battle it out in a PvP combat against progressively more difficult enemies to say. This sounds familiar now, because didn't we see this when they also announced that weird Division game that was kind of like this? This is starting to sound a little familiar to me now as I'm reading this. Thousands of enemy AI robots on the map at any given time. Eventually, players would enter the final zone in the middle of the map where they need to defeat the boss. Yeah, I vaguely remember this now. We probably talked about it. We may have even streamed it during one of those Ubisoft fucking, summer events. Despite initially receiving generally positive feedback from players, one fundamental flaw plagued the game from the start. Its replayability. Sources say it was a constant issue for the developers and would see the project's budget balloon due to continuous reworks. We heard a lot about that with other games. Such rework included adding more variations to the map with blooms, whatever that is, and adding new bosses to change its repetitive nature. However, playtest in February.
Is that biomes?
Biomes. Yeah. I was like, blooms. I didn't see that. Your boy may need glasses. playtest in February 2024 revealed that the game lacked the replayability need. Okay. So apparently the game was just stupid, you know? A game that people have not heard about is gone or going back to the drawing board. This is why games take so long. This game's been in development for 2 years. Now it's probably going to be in development for who knows how many more years.
I guess they need to figure this one out.
Yeah,
I just have one question. Why does Ubisoft not continue to work on the projects that they've already started working on?
Yeah,
and instead trying to do all these other things that it just I don't really understand that, because obviously they know about Splinter Cell. We've heard rumors that there was a Splinter Cell game in development. I don't know what's happened to that game now, but clearly, you have that. You have Beyond Good and Evil 2, which we saw and haven't heard nothing about for almost a couple of years now. It's like they have projects that they can easily focus on, but they're trying to do all this other stuff. So I just don't get it.
Yeah. I'm going to make a prediction now. If this game comes out, I'm going to be dead in the water because no one's going to care in 8 years, you know? If it even comes out at all, because remember, look at Beyond Good and Evil 2. You know?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Ubisoft, man. And here's a funny one. So apparently Ubisoft is being sued after they shut down The Crew. Uh-oh. But there's a twist to this. Because when you read the headline, like, oh, shit, it's getting real right now. Apparently it's just two gamers from, where is it, California? Well, I don't know. Yeah, from California. Two gamers from California trying to sue them. This is the same thing we heard with some random-ass gamers also from California who tried to sue Microsoft or were trying to acquire Activision Blizzard. So this case is not going to go anywhere. Let's just be honest. It's a bunch of clowns, you know? And also, this ties into what we talked about before. This is why companies are now saying, oh, yeah, you don't own this game if you bought it digital, you know? Especially if it's an online game, you really don't own shit. So, pretty interesting stuff. Brian, what's your take on this as you play The Crew?
It's interesting. I don't know what they can sue them for. Let's just see. But again, as you said, it seems like just one of those random lawsuits just thrown out to see what sticks. So obviously I'd want them to win because I thought what they did with The Crew was really dumb, that they should have done a lot more. But I guess we'll see off the outcome, or probably not, since it'll just probably never happen, or they'll just lose and that's it.
Yeah. Lou, what's going on, brother? Lakaha. What's going on, man?
Lakaha.
Yeah, I didn't do one for PlayStation this year because I didn't buy one. I just reviewed it, you know? All right. Oh, and the last story of the night before we go into games we've been playing lately. This one, it fills my heart, man. It makes me feel good. It's, sometimes,
Wait, whoa.
Yeah.
Feel good?
Yeah, it's a feel-good story.
It's not controversial or horrible or like somebody's getting fired. Like where?
No. This is a very heartwarming story. Like it takes a lot to really make me feel something. I felt something about this. Turns out that the scalpers trying to sell PS4 consoles, they can't fucking sell them, so they got to sell them for cheap, you know, or at price because nobody's buying them shits because they're readily available. Oh, that feels good. That feels like comeuppance, doesn't it? That's a Christmas story right here, people. You feel there's the Christmas miracle, these motherfuckers, you know? Like, so yeah, they're having to sell these consoles at a loss. They thought, like, oh shit, because they thought it was gonna be like the PS5 where you can't get the fucking system. You can. And now they're resorting to fucking scalping the fucking stands, you know, because their consoles are readily available. I love this story because these fucking clowns are getting their comeuppance, man. Love it, you know? So yeah, what do you guys think?
You know, there's no artificial scarcity in this.
There isn't, you know? Or is it because there's not a lot of demand?
You know? It's, you know, I mean, the original console came out during the pandemic, so it's like, there's all those shortages that made, you know, the official scarcity contributed
that. The chip shortage, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was understandable. There was a lot of, you know, even the Xbox had limited systems and everyone else. But this, I mean, there's no excuses now. The only scarcity they're going to do is those 30th anniversary consoles that sold out within minutes.
Yeah, I'm laughing because so they're selling these things on eBay. Dude, they're either selling them at cost or like a little bit under.
Oh, and they got to pay for shipping.
Oh, this story is so good. See, man, now you understand why I'm so happy. These fucking assholes are getting theirs, man. Oh, so good.
Because I mean, if you think about it, it's like someone can just show up to a Best Buy, you know, in their local Best Buy and just buy one, not pay shipping and handling, and pay a regular price. I mean, people who are selling this on eBay, they have to pay for shipping. So it's like, oh, how can we entice people? We're not going to sell at the same price as Best Buy's doing or Walmart's doing it. So they have to sell it for a loss.
Yeah. Okay, so by the way, a little bit of an amendment here. As I'm reading this, I got to give a shout out to the UK scalpers. They're at least smart. They're selling it for the price of the system. American scalpers are fucking stupid. These motherfuckers are on eBay right now, bro, selling it for $800, $1,000.
No shit.
Yeah, if you're on eBay and you see that, do yourself a favor and you want to buy a PS5 Pro, go to Best Buy. Go to Amazon. Literally go anywhere else. It's readily available, you know? Don't give these fucking clowns. Let them eat that cost, bruh. You know, let them eat that cost.
Let them eat cake.
You know? I love this story, man. So I'm glad they're getting to come up. And fuck those guys, man.
Fuck them.
You know? All right, man, let's jump into it. What have we been playing lately? And I'm using this as an excuse for Rich and I to talk about a game we may have talked about earlier. Lego Horizon Adventures, bruh. The review embargo lifted yesterday, but Rich and I have been playing this for a little bit. We just couldn't say nothing publicly. My review will go up probably this weekend. I've already written it. I'm going to submit it tomorrow, so I'll go up over the weekend. And I'll give you my thoughts in a bit, but I'll let Rich start us off, man. So what did you think of Lego Horizon Adventures for the PS5?
Well, Lego Horizon Adventures, first and foremost, shout out to Mr. Carlos Romero, because he did tell me prior to this recording tonight, this was his most anticipated game for this fall.
Oh. So
I don't think that he would be disappointed, I'm guessing. But no, on the real tip, I thought the game was pretty good. My review is currently on thecoalition.com. I gave it 4 out of 5 stars.
All right.
I think it's essentially a Lego game, but this is all taking the story of Horizon Zero Dawn. It's obviously a lot of humor. It's not dark like Horizon Zero Dawn. It's a lot more lighthearted and family-friendly as far as how they handle certain stuff. And again, the story is about Aloy basically finding out her origins, who her mother is, so on and so forth. So it's a lot of the same things that you see in Horizon Zero Dawn, but it's just handled in a certain way in which kids can play it and enjoy it. And as far as the Lego stuff is concerned, yes, you know, the gameplay loop is very straightforward. You have these missions that you play through. I will call them mini missions because they don't take that long to complete, maybe about 20 minutes or so, depending on how fast you run through things. But you have these missions where you have an objective that you have to complete. Sometimes that objective can be rescuing some people that have been captured by cultists, or just discovering a different area. You know, and then of course they have a lot of the machines, the same machines you see in the game. I do like how they design them because everything in the game is done with Lego bricks. You're able to assemble different things, build up things in the environment, so on and so forth. So I like the concept of what the game can offer. I was totally joking, though, when I said this is game of the year. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If you're talking about a kid game, a kid type game that came to PlayStation 5, I think Astrobot is still, that is the top game for PlayStation this year in terms of being kid friendly and just being an overall fun time. This game is still good for what it is. If you are a Lego fan or you're a Horizon fan, you might want to check it out. But overall, I did enjoy my time with it. It's pretty good, very straightforward. And yes, very, 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 very humorous as far as the dialogue between the characters, so on and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, I largely agree with that. It's the first thing that kind of stuck out to me. It's the obvious. I'm like, why does this game exist? You know, like, who asked for this? Because, like, I could understand if they made, like, Uncharted Lego or The Last of Us Lego or, you know, something like that. But they went with Horizon, which is kind of interesting. But, yeah, no, you're right. It's basically like a Lego-fied retelling of the first game. But obviously, you know, the characters are a lot sillier, a lot goofier. It's also, with the exception of, Silence, you know, shout out to Lance Reddick. It's all the same actors, but they're, you know, doing like more kid-friendly voices. Like Ashley Burch, completely different portrayal of Aloy, even though it's the same actress, right? If you played a Lego game before, you know what you're getting. You know, you go around these worlds, you pick up the little studs, you buy shit, you build stuff. So it's good in that end. And I'll say this, though, because I've been playing these Lego games for a long time, but I have more experience with the older Lego games than the newer ones. So it's still weird to hear these motherfuckers talk, you know, because they didn't used to talk, you know. I'm like, are you voiceless? What the fuck is this? You know? And also, you know, the cast isn't as, like, robust as, like, a Lego Star Wars or anything like that for obvious reasons. And the game is more focused on combat than other Lego games, which is kind of interesting. And some portions could be pretty tough, too. Like, I got my ass beat in some points because I played on medium difficulty. I was like, yo, I'm getting worked over right now. But that's also, you know, because sometimes the game likes to stun lock you and shit. Like, they'll just throw random moves, like subsequent moves at you that you literally can't get out of, which is a little cheap. You know, the combat, I feel, is a little bit repetitive because you're literally just going around like a giant kind of arena, picking off enemies at once, kind of focusing on one main enemy. You know, but and I like the fact that you get four different characters to choose from and they all have different attacks, although Aloy and Varl, I think, are the best because they have better range. Ross is pretty cool because he has that big fucking hammer. And that old woman, I didn't feel that old woman, bro. It's like, you know, those fucking chickens and shit she uses, the exploding chickens. Yeah, that it wasn't really, I was getting bodied like a lot. Every time I used her, because I was trying to keep the characters on the same level, when I used her, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get worked over, bro, because she sucks, you know? But yeah, you know, overall, good game for the family. Very interesting that Sony now has two family-friendly games out the same year. They're not really kind of known for that. And I will say, I felt that the game overall wasn't as robust as other Lego games. I felt other Lego games had way more shit. Dude, think about this. I wasn't even trying, and I got 66% of the trophies. I'm like, oh, shit, I could just easily get the platinum. And although the combat is more challenging than other Lego games, I would say overall this is easier than other Lego games because, like, for example, in other Lego games, if you die, you lose a fuck ton of, like, studs. Like, you lost all that shit. This time you die as many times, it doesn't really matter. So I kind of wish there was an option, like, turn that on just so it's a little bit more difficult. And yeah, like, again, the worlds are a little bit limited. The cast is limited. But it's still a fun little romp, you know, for what it is. And Rich, you know, not to spoil my own review, but I am also giving it a 4 out of 5, you know. I feel that's just right because it's, you know, better than the average game, but it's just some, you know, it's a Lego game at the end of the day. I would never give a Lego game more than 4 stars, you know. But yeah, overall good. But I don't know, with the exception of Dumeke, I don't know if our fans would really care for this game, to be honest, you know. And I say this, Dumeke, you can get this shit on Switch, bruh, you know, so you may want to check that out. Also, Rich, what graphical mode did you play on?
Oh.
That's a great question. Performance?
Yeah, that's what I chose. Did you find it interesting that that's the first thing that you saw before the you start the game up? The first thing you get, which role do you want? I'm like, oh,
yeah,
kind of interesting. Oh, and for those wondering, yes, I did play this on the PS5 Pro, but it is not Pro patched. So, Jay, we did answer that question. Yeah, I've been playing these games. I don't remember when they first came out, but since then, because I remember the first one I played. It was on PS2. It was a Lego Indiana Jones game. And the original Lego Star Wars game, when it was just a trilogy, you know? This is before the new movies really dropped, you know? I mean, the movies had already come out, but they hadn't, like, they weren't finished yet. I think they only had done the first two of the prequel movies. So I played those, played a couple others. And I think the first one I played that had voices was Lego DC. I reviewed it for PC Mag. Every review may still be up. And even then I was like, yo, they're talking now? What the fuck is this? But that Lego DC game had very robust, a large cast, lots of worlds, lots of shit to unlock. This one, like, you know how in other Lego games, like, you needed very specific characters to unlock certain parts of the environment. And this one, I feel that every character can unlock every part of the environment. Even the shit that is kind of unlockable isn't really great. It's just like, oh, another chest with more studs. It's not like something like really, really crazy. They also have like extra hunts, apex hunts after the fact. You could do, they give you red bricks and stuff. You could build up your village. It's called Mother's Heart, just like in the original game. You could build that up and shit. Customize it. And also because, you know, again, Horizon is not a long-running franchise, only two games. To kind of fill shit out, you get pieces from the Lego City games, Ninjago, Amusement, you know, like other Lego properties. They throw that shit in there, which is kind of interesting. How much is this fucking game? Like $60? I don't think it's full price, is it?
Yeah, no, I think it is about $60.
Yeah. So yeah, I would say, you know, if you're a big fan of the Lego games, or if you got kids, I would say pick it up. It's a good game for what it is, but definitely not game of the year material. It's not a system seller, you know. But yeah,
and
go ahead.
And to answer your question, Tony, of who wanted this game, shout out to Riku's boy, Herman Holtz. I'm sure who wanted this game to happen. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, because it's very, I'm like, Lego Horizon out of all of them, really? You know, but fucking Sly Cooper would have made more sense. I don't know, but yeah, good stuff. There's another game I want to talk about, but I'll come back around. Rich, is there anything else you're playing that you're allowed to talk about?
Yeah, I'm going to keep this pretty brief. I've been playing Dragon Quest III.
Ooh.
This is a game that I intended to review, but the problem is the embargo ended the exact same day as Lego Horizon. So, and I was still needed more time with this game because I didn't get a chance to play the original. The original came out, I believe, back in 1986. That's a long time ago. So, but I've been playing the remake and, I've been enjoying the game so far. You know, obviously when it comes to RPGs, I still think that the Romancing Saga game, that is the RPG I've enjoyed the most so far this year. I have not played Metaphor yet or any of these other games that came out, but I will get a chance to check them out before the year is over. But yeah, this game, pretty much more of the same. It's a lot of the modernized controls they've added to the game. They've added some more context to, because basically when you start out this game, you're playing as the child of Ortega. Ortega is a warrior he had a task that he was supposed to take out somebody, and he obviously didn't complete that task. So as his successor, when your character turns 16 years old, you go out on a quest to fulfill the task, the mission that he never finished. So yeah, again, this is it's HD 2D, I guess they call it, type of style, where there's like the characters are 2D pixel art style, but the backgrounds are more 3D in terms of how you navigate across the world. And you mentioned, Tony, about the difficulty of Horizon.
Yeah.
Well, this game is definitely difficult on any difficulty. It doesn't matter if it's normal or whatever, because when you get into those fights with the creatures, there is an option to flee away from the enemies. But, yeah, you know, as you get deeper into the game, you know, you, every battle you win, your character levels up. You know, you get experience points, so on and so forth. But as you get deeper into the game, you can get killed very easily when you go in, into some of these encounters. And then you may try to flee a battle, and then they say, oh hell no. They thing, and you stay there, and you have to continue fighting these creatures. So I definitely got my ass whooped multiple times in this game.
This is why I tell dudes in RPGs, never flee battles. Fight every battle because you need that experience, bro. Like, and you got to grind. When you find a nice spot, you know, where you could kind of go to a village to heal up, keep grinding, keep grinding, keep grinding those levels, you know? That's the only way. Yeah, you can't just bulldoze your way. Because, yeah, if you try to flee battles, you're not going to get any experience, and you're going to get fucking bodied, you know?
Absolutely. And the thing about it is that, you know, and it's funny because let's say obviously it's a team of four, you and you pick your three party members. So if a party member, you like, you do have an option in battle where you can choose what each person does, or you can auto have the system auto choose and make everyone fight wisely, which means that during a fight, if they're taking damage, they'll heal themselves, stuff like that. But the problem is that obviously when they die, right? And let's say you win a battle, then when you start walking again and they show you, you know, you're walking away from the battle, you're walking across the screen, they have a little casket of which the character is that actually died. So you are able to resurrect the people that die on your team, but you have to find a church and pay a fee to have them resurrected. So it's a lot of little stuff in this game that's pretty interesting. In terms of going different activities and stuff like that. But yeah, so far, I'm enjoying the game. I will have a review for it on the website soon. But yeah, if you did check out the game originally, and you are curious about checking out the remake, you probably should check it out. Square Enix has had a couple of pretty decent games this year as far as RPGs are concerned. So this one is pretty good. But again, I personally feel Romance and Saga 2, that is the one at the top of the list for me personally. But this, I could see this also being a good pick that somebody might want to check out. So definitely stay tuned for my review.
Nice. Good stuff. All right. I'll go down the line. Like I said, I'll come back around to myself. It's another game I want to talk about. Old game, but I'm having fun. Manny, have you been playing anything lately?
I've actually been playing Slitterhead.
Tell us about it.
Ikkyo Toriyama. That came out also last week. If you get the day one edition, it actually has a nice collection. So you get obviously the game, you get a poster, you get a full art book, as well as a soundtrack and a bunch of Slitterhead on its own. It's actually it's been getting mixed reviews, you know, because I consider it a little bit on the rough side. It definitely feels like it needs a little bit more, but I also enjoy the slight jankiness to it. The way the game works is you play like a spirit that can possess pretty much anybody on the map, and each person that you possess has their own affinity toward the spirit, and they get like abilities. So at one point, like, you know, so like you may possess one person and they have it uses their blood to make weapons. So they might pop up with a sword. They might pop up with a mace. They may have different like abilities. So like they could throw blood bombs or something. And all these abilities are to essentially to fight these things called slitherheads, which are these pretty much these giant mantis looking monsters that are hidden inside of people's bodies. They pretty much are like head snatchers, right? And I think it's well done. Like, I think the interesting way that, you know, you'd be able to switch around characters in the game, the way the game works is you always, all your characters get like, what do you call it? you get buffs by switching characters. So usually when you're fighting a Slitherhead, there's usually a bunch of innocent bystanders around. And then you have these, like, you may have what is called a rarity. And the rarity is a person that has more abilities than the regular. I'm enjoying it. It's it has like a mission based system, so you can kind of play a little bit and then stop. Some people have been complaining about there not being any voice acting, but I think when you look at the pricing, it's like a $60 title. It's not like a super expensive title, and the team is only a 30 person team. It's a smaller game, and I appreciate the weirdness of this game. I do appreciate that this game exists, but I would also have to say that the game is not exactly.
Yeah.
There you go. That's my.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. Yeah, man. We play games around here, you know, new games.
Yeah, I play new games. It just sort of snuck in there. I'm like, I actually wasn't going to get it, but I'm, you know what? Why not? It's come with, it has all this other stuff. It comes with a lot more. You get a lot more with your purchase than. You know, at least if you get the physical version, you get a lot more in your purchase than you would get probably. As far as I know, there's no DLC. So what it is what you get. And it just sort of seems like a kind of an amalgam of a lot of Toyama's games. It has sight jacking. So like at some point, when you're looking for a slitterhead, right? When you get close enough, you can sight jack them, which sight jacking means you can literally see through their eyes. And you can kind of figure out all the different people in the environment where this slitterhead is. So they could be walking down the street, so you can see which direction the street is. Then they might pass right by you. Or if you jump down, if you're looking in an area, there's one point where you essentially can see in the distance, and you can probably look around at all the different people to see if that's your looking at yourself. And then you hit that slitterhead. You know, you figure out who the slitterhead is, and then you go for a chase. So, and they have all kinds of different characters. One funny thing about the game is that you kind of end up playing a lot of, like, regular-looking people.
Uh-oh.
Some old fat guy with sandals on. You know, it's like anybody who's possessed by this spirit gets abilities. They can jump high. They can kind of like not web, kind of like sort of like, you know, can like pull themselves up onto the tops of roofs. They can jump off of roofs and you won't die. Stuff like that. Right. But one could be a grandma. One could be some old homeless guy. It's like just regular people are your people. Obviously, the rarity characters look cool, you know. So you have the main girl that's in the game who kind of wears a hoodie and she wears a mask to conceal her identity. So she is, and then there's a guy with a motorcycle helmet who makes a big like a massive blood sword. So there's all kinds of fun characters. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm still enjoying it. I every so often, every evening, I get in, play a little bit, you know, because it seems like it's very sort of respectful of your time, you know.
That's good.
It doesn't take long to complete a mission, and then you can enjoy the story on your own pace. So like there's these sections where you can talk to the characters about things, and it's just a little, you know, there's no real voice acting, you're just reading.
That's cool.
But yeah.
Yeah, no, thanks for that review, because I saw some guys in the chat talking about it like a week ago, so now they know.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Right, Carlos, have you been playing anything lately?
Yeah, speaking of playing games, I haven't been playing anything.
Uh-oh, back to normal then.
I just got back from my trip, so I haven't had a chance to start anything. So yeah, that's going to be a pass.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Brian, what about you?
I actually have been playing games. I've been playing a lot of, not Resident Evil, Silent Hill 2 remake or remaster?
Ooh,
remake,
right? Now we got to hear a review of this.
Again, keep note, I've never played Silent Hill before, so I was going into it fresh. Obviously, I've heard all the hubbub about it, so I thought, okay, you know what, let me check this out, since chances are I won't play the PS2 version, because, yeah. I'm actually enjoying it. I understand why people think it's a really fun game and really enjoyable. I can see what the hype is about with this game. So in terms of where I am in the story, how do I tell you without spoiling? at a point where she got stabbed. There you go. If you played the game, you know that there's a certain point where someone gets stabbed, and she got stabbed. So that's where. Oh no! I just tell you where I am. I've gone past the hospital. Yeah, that's where I am. Past that point.
By the way, Brian, as someone who's never played Silent Hill, none of this means anything to me. So you're good. As far as I'm concerned, you're not spoiling nothing. You know.
I'm sure that Chris is like, spoilers. Okay, Brian's there now. Yeah. If he's listened to this. It's actually really quite fun. Like, I am enjoying the atmosphere is really good. Like, it feels like a really creepy game, and the fact that there's almost no jump scares is so refreshing. Mm. I mean, I just get really tired of horror games that have jump scares out the ass. With most types of horror, I think that jump scares are by far the laziest thing that people do in horror medium. So the fact that this has none of that, it's really nice, and it's still able to scare you really well. Like, for example, there's the mannequin enemies, and they'll just you go into like a new room, and then you'll see them like walk past the door, and then they'll go, and then they won't hide as such, but they'll just stand slightly out of sight, you know. So they'll stand behind a chair or sit underneath a desk or something, or stand by a wall, with the intent that they'll be in a place where you can see them, but you don't notice that they're there. And then, of course, they'll jump out and attack you. So you constantly have to walk into a new room and assess the area just in case there's one nearby. Because the amount of times I've just walked into a room and then suddenly it's been underneath the chair the whole time. I'm like, fuck. I have no bullets. I have nothing.
The mannequins also don't move right away. They'll let you walk a little bit past them and then come after you.
Yeah, that's it. It's such a clever idea. It unnerves you so well. It's really nice. Because just in there, like, okay, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this encounter just in case there's one underneath the doorstep. And the cool thing is, every time you like reload because you died or something, then it's possible that they'll move to like a different place. So they won't always be in the same place every single time. So it's not a case of, okay, I remember that there were two in this room, one's behind the chair, one's underneath the desk. Like, no, it's just there's two in this area. Where they are, you don't know. So yeah, it's good. Obviously, because I've watched way too many videos, I know the twist, but I'm still just enjoying it. It's kind of fun going into it, knowing the twist, because you're kind of seeing things that make sense. That you didn't know the twist, then it won't make much sense. So yeah, I'm enjoying that.
Good stuff. Before we go on, Manny, they have a new level in Astrobot, so...
Oh, I got one last one. Yep. I think that's the last one.
Yeah, so as a lava level, you have to use the monkey with the grippy. That's going to be tough. I have a tough time with that. The other game I've been playing, and if you've been watching my Twitter, you know what it is. Yes, it's an older game, but by older, I mean it came out this January. So I guess it's still kind of new. And Brian, you'll be very pleased by this one. Tekken 8, bro. Tekken 8. It was on sale, the ultimate edition for $65. I'm like, buying it. And Brian, I don't know what it is, man, because I was playing Tekken 7, I enjoyed that, but this one just clicked with me, clicked with me. And I've been just not, I haven't even played the story yet. I've been mostly doing the arcade quest, which is a lot of fun, and most of my time I've been spending it in the dojo, man, like learning moves and shit. And here's the interesting thing, like when I play a new Street Fighter, it's hard to learn how to play it because I have 30 years worth of muscle memory of other Street Fighters to fight against. I'm not familiar with Tekken, so I'm just a sponge right now, absorbing shit, you know, learning how to play it. Right now, I'm maining Reyna because I like her outfit, and she kind of plays like, you know, a Mishima because she is a Mishima, so it's a little familiar there. When I pulled off my first 10-hit combo, I'm like, let's fucking go. You know, I went online and I even got a 4-win streak and shit. I was like, yo, and you know, just doing the fundamentals and stuff, having a fucking blast with this game, man. And the graphics look insane too. I think that also helped because when I was playing Tekken 7, I liked it, but I'm like, this looks like a PS4 game, bro. But not this one. Very clearly, PS5 game, having a blast. And since it did come out this year, I could technically nominate it for one of my games of the year. Which is crazy. But yeah, Brian, I like every night before bed, I'm like, yo, let me learn another combo. I've been loving it, man. Loving it. I'm assuming you went through all the single player stuff already, right?
I haven't played it yet.
Oh, you have? I'm surprised by that. Brian, is on sale right now on PlayStation. Just letting you know.
Mm-hmm. The itch is there, but again, there's just other things at the moment that I just want to play. Again, I really want to finish off Silent Hill, and then I have I'm playing Elite Dangerous, and my AI just decided it wants to land itself upside down. So yeah, fuck, it's stupid. So yeah, there's just other games I want to play at the moment, and I know that once I start playing Tekken, it's going to be really hard to get off because that. You just get addicted to the combos, you get addicted to the mix-ups, you get addicted to, okay, this guy beat me using these combos, let me try that out, and then you find out that this character has, like, this input string that's, like, really powerful, and then you start learning the matchups, and then it's like, oh, I'm playing against power player, I need to be wary of this move. It is like a gravity well. It just sucks you in, and it's really difficult to get out.
Yeah, they have this really cool thing, like, when you replay, like, a match you may have had with somebody online, it'll tell you, like, hey, maybe you should try this move. Like, you'll see, like, an alternate version of the match you played, which is crazy. Like, if somebody's giving you a lot of problems with a particular move, like, how the fuck do I get around that? And then, like, the game actually suggests, maybe you should have tried this, and then you try it and shit. One thing I was having a problem with, and I almost didn't like this mechanic, the rage art from the other game, there was this one fucking player I was fighting against. I beat him every single round up until the end. Then he pulled that fucking rage art, killed me every time. And I'm thinking, yo, what's the craziest way for me to beat these rage arts? Brian, it was just blocking. All I had to do was block, And obviously, since these like super moves take up so much time, you have a lot of frame advantage after you successfully block it. You can just fuck them up. So I've been doing that. But one thing I've been doing, I call it Tekken etiquette. I don't know if it's a real thing, but I do it. I will not use my rage art until they do it. Because sometimes they won't do it, to kind of keep the match more fair, So I will never do a rage art on my own. I will always wait for them. If they do it, it's like, okay, everything's off the table. I'm fucking doing it. Getting a cheap win, the combo strings, they're glorious. You just keep them going, Although, when you're on the receiving end, it's like, okay, you just put your controller down, go get something to drink. just keep going and going and going and going, I'm having a blast. It feels good to learn a completely new fighting. Because think about it. I haven't played, like, a 3D fighting game in fucking years. Like, Virtua Fighter, I play it every once in a while. But even that muscle memory is not competing with this because I've never played Tekken like this before. Like, even when I play, like, other 2D fighting games, like Guilty Gear, I have to fight the urge to do Street Fighter shit, This one, I don't have to fight the urge to anything. It's just learning how to play Tekken. I've been watching a lot of videos, a lot of theory. I got to say this, by the way, Brian. I don't know if you've gone down that particular well of these like guide videos. A lot of these guys, I'm sorry, are bad. And I don't mean players. Like, they don't explain shit correctly. It seems a lot of these guys are just trying to show off how much they know about, like Tekken. It's like, oh yeah, do 4-1-2 and then this and that. Like, can you explain the fundamental of that, please? I know the fucking buttons already. Just teach me the fundamentals. Like, I'm trying to learn Rainer. She has 3 different stances. None of these guys explain what these fucking stances do. It's like, oh yeah, when you do this move, she goes into this stance, and then you do this move, she goes into this stance. What does the stance do? Why does she have 3 different stances? Can you please explain that? One guy just saw it, said, don't worry about those other stances, just focus on this one. Why? Like, this, I don't think that's hard to ask. Can I please get a simple explanation here? So some of the guys are better than others, but I feel none of these guys are doing a good job, which is frustrating, you know? And this is not just for Tekken. I've noticed that with Street Fighter guys. I think a lot of these fighting game guys, like, they don't explain things well. I don't know if you've had that problem with trying to look up YouTube videos.
I can definitely see that. Yeah, some... Back when I was doing stuff for Tekken 6, I was getting lots of that because I used to main Yoshimitsu.
Yeah.
And the guy has so many stances and so many moves. Yes. And from what I understood about stances then, is it's just a way to get into different moves. So you can chain certain moves together if you want to do that. But even then, I was like, why so... Why is it that some have like one or two stances and others have like eight stances? You know, like, is that like a thing? Like, is there like a reason behind that? But yeah, I just seen it as different move sets, like, and that's how I kept it. And like, okay, cool, that's fine. It's that stance, this move set, so whatever. But yeah, it's, I can understand how it is really jarring.
Yeah, especially when the video is literally called Tekken 8 for Beginners. But they're not talking to you like you're a beginner. They're talking to you like you're a seasoned pro. Like, that's not helping me, dude, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, again, having a blast. I'm in the last part. Arcade Quest, you're literally going to different arcades, like, you know, leveling up in it. And I like the fact that when I was playing in the first arcade, again, I'm not like, I don't know how to play this fucking game. Now I'm like, yeah, man, let's fucking go. I got this. I understand the basics now, you know? And it's just fun to kind of... And the arcade mode actually does a very good job of teaching you the fundamentals of the game, you know, which so another thing that fighting games are not very good at, you know, they don't really teach you the fundamentals. This game does, and Street Fighter 6 also does through its quest mode, you know, so I like that. And then obviously I'm going to go through the story. I know the story, Brian, because I already kind of saw it on, you know, on YouTube. So I'm looking forward to the insanity that's about to happen. Like, the last fight is literally you... on a you know, it's fucking Jin and Kazuya on a fucking asteroid that's in re-entry to Earth. It's like, you know, and yo, the super moves in this move are in this game are crazy. Like with Reyna, the girl I use, like, her super move, like, you see the sun turn black and all this crazy shit happening, you know. So lots of fun, crazy, goofy stuff happening there. But of course, as that tech and goofiness, like I'm fighting a panda right now. Okay. We're doing this. It's fucking nuts, you know? But yeah, good stuff. I like, the whole week, I'm just like, bro, I can't wait for the weekend, man. Getting back in that dojo, you know? It's going to be fun. They call it, the official name for it is The Lab. That's what the fighting game community calls it. I call it The Dojo. You're literally in a dojo. That's the way I see it, you know? We're done here. Another good show. Rich, what else is going on with the Coalition, man?
Yeah, so... I Am Negan has concluded for this year, although it will be back. As soon as we have more information on the return of the Walking Dead shows, we will let you guys know. As for Coalition Entertainment side, I have been recording a podcast with Dana for a show called Cross, which is pretty much, it's currently on Amazon Prime right now. Basically, it's another version of Alex Cross, but it's a TV show. So if you are curious to hear our thoughts on that show, stay tuned. We are going to be doing a couple other discussions because we have a couple of movies coming out, such as Gladiator 2, so on and so forth. So we are going to be talking about that stuff at some point on the channel. So stay tuned for that. And then lastly, as for the gaming side, there are a ton of gaming things that I have been involved with. Some stuff I cannot talk about yet. But I will just say next week is going to be a very active week on the website. So I would encourage you all to stay tuned because we're going to have a lot of reviews, some previews, and a couple other things. But stay tuned.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, that what you have to discuss may or may not be related to why you were gone last week.
Exactly.
Yeah, stay tuned for that. Good stuff, man. All right, guys, you already know. Make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Follow us here on YouTube and join a Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. And of course, you can find us on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Majoma.
Larry P.
Hey, Brian, how's that... salt mining job going for you, man? Still going well?
Slightly drying up, but still there.
All right, guys, we'll see you on Sunday. Get us those questions now. Later.